shit from the
You're gonna hate me because I come to your town and we beat your team.
You're now tuned in to one of the realest sports podcasts for Kentucky basketball.
Three in the air, good again!
And football.
The Kentucky defense steps up again.
Just an opinionated Kentucky sports fan podcast.
Maybe that's a Kentucky accent.
With Jay Hayes and JD Hall. Ooh. This is what we do.
Let's go!
Religiously Kentucky.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. I am your guy, Jay Hayes, and he is...
the voice of reason for Religiously Kentucky, JD Hall.
And we are Religiously Kentucky, and... today we have a special guest, co-founder and publisher of Big Blue Banter, Patrick Looney.
Hey, thank you for inviting me to be on here.
How's it going?
Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Appreciate you. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Good, good.
So let's jump into it and just to get into the conversation, what were your thoughts on this past season with Kentucky basketball?
Disappointing. Frustrating, aggravating, there's so many words for it, but just a lack of teamwork, I think. It's just too much one-on-one ball that frustrated Cal. There's just too many me, and not enough team play. But I guess what really caused the season to be as bad as it was. It just didn't gel well.
It was definitely hard to watch, I will say. Moving from the horrible season, and we're coming into this season, how are the expectations from this past season going into now?
Well, I think the expectations is at least get the tournament. Obviously, that has to be it. I don't know if you can go from 9-16 to what's going to be NCAA championships. I don't know if that's going to be possible. Ultimately, I mean, that's the ultimate go, but I'm not going to say that's what the team's going to be because we don't know what the team's going to look like yet, especially with coaching staff still in flux. We don't know what that's going to end up to being. Possible transfers. There's a lot of things that still need to be ironed out to say, hey, here's what the team's going to look like, for prediction of that, and so on. It's just too many unknowns.
Well, you touched on the coaching changes. Since the end of the season, Coach O has been rumored to be returning. Like, it was almost immediately after the season was over, people started talking about it. What can you tell us about the coaching changes that are going on and seem to be happening and where things stand?
So, obviously, the rumors came out not too long ago about Coach O, Coach Ronald Coleman, or most people could just call him Chin Coleman. So, the rumor was that Coach O had already accepted the job, and Cal was going to offer Chin Coleman. And there was some rumors that even Adam Miller could come, but obviously, Illinois is like, hold up, we're not going to make it easy that easy. So, they started offering Coach O and Coleman a lot more money. I had rumored that Illinois went up to at least $1 million for Coach O and Coleman, making both the highest paid assistant coaches. Texas like, all right, we'll do that. So I had heard that Kentucky went up to at least $1.2 million for Coleman and Coach O, but then Illinois counteroffer for O. And I've heard of some rumors that Kentucky's actually reoffered him to up to $1.7 million.
I don't think Illinois wants to get in the money no, fight with
they
him.
Don't. they really don't want to. I mean, Kentucky can really make them look embarrassing bad.
Right.
Obviously, that's just rumor. Doesn't mean it's actually definite amount. But that's just the numbers being tossed around behind the scenes. But
and it could be that Illinois knows that and they're just driving up the price.
Right.
Exactly. That's what I think. Honestly, ultimately, I think it's what it is. I think it's just Illinois trying to drive up the price. I think they already know that they're both gone. They're trying to make it look good for the fans, recruits, and just the boosters themselves. Like, hey, we're not going to lose to these two coaches to Kentucky that easily.
Right. And at the end of the day, that helps both of those coaches make a little bit more money.
Exactly. It's just the agents making the one making looking good in the whole deal.
And if we're being honest, a couple $100,000 isn't going to hurt University of Kentucky's athletic program. So, yeah. So, going up that high to get the coaches that you want on staff that you feel are going to make a difference for next season, you do what you have to do, especially when you, at the end of the season, Coach Kyle was like, everything's under, you know, we're going to look at everything this year, this offseason, to fix everything, anything that we can fix. So, speaking of O and Chin Coleman, in fact, me and you just talked about this on Twitter. You have some interesting thoughts about what might happen if those two do end up joining the staff at Kentucky.
Right.
You want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure, we'll talk about that a little bit. I knew he was going to ask me about it. But so, you know, we all know about Adam Miller. So we all think, okay, he could – come with them if they decide to come, which I think they do. I think it's already done deal. I think it's just semantics at this point, just waiting on state level 7-day posting, whatnot. I still expect them both to be coming to Kentucky. Now, does that make Adam Miller reconsider going from LSU to Kentucky? I don't know, maybe. But with that being said, as you said, JD, we talked about this. A lot of people was not saying it. Now, we don't know what Brooks is doing. We don't know what Mix is doing. So obviously this could change. But if my calculation's right, you guys could correct me if I'm wrong. But if both of them return, Kentucky lands a point guard in Frederick, they still have one scholarship left. There's 12 scholarships.
I believe you're right. Yes.
So technically, Cal has one scholarship to use. And let's be honest, the last several years, Kentucky's had at least one big man injured. That's hindered a team. Brooks, Bree Travis. I think if Bree Travis didn't get hurt, I think that team gels a lot better than what it did. Willie Cauley Stein.
Especially in the tournament, because that's where it affected them the most.
Right. Yeah. PJ Washington.
PJ, yep.
You cannot have enough big men, period. And Coach and Oscar is really the only big, girthy man on the team. They can handle beating, banging all the time. And I think, truthfully, in the last couple of years, they haven't had anyone do that. There's not enough physical girth down there to handle it. I think this last year's team, there's a lot of players that got pushed around. And when you got pushed around, they couldn't rebound, they couldn't box out, they couldn't do nothing. There's not enough physicality there. They're not physical. You can be physically looking, but it doesn't mean you're actually physical. So I mentioned, what about Coffey Cockburn? He's not a guaranteed lottery pick, but there's a connection there with him and UK. Now, just because Coach O comes over to Kentucky, but he's actually from the exact same place Nick Richards came from, Jamaica, the exact same area. So he could actually, Kentucky used that for them to actually land, you know, both guys, Adam Miller and Coffey Cockburn, if he decides to transfer. Because he might not get the best NBA advice. And, if he comes back, at least things might come back to college. Kentucky could, you know, directly get him. And then if you have Coffey and Oscar, you know, down low.
That's a lot of physical.
Wow. There's a lot of physical. You can have a lot of physical, and you can have your three guards out there, too. So you have Grady. If Mintz comes back, you have Grady, Mintz, and Nolan Hickman or whatnot out there as a point guard.
Right.
Have you heard any news on Brooks and Mintz?
No, I haven't heard anything.
Decisions coming soon? Or
I have not heard a peep. I've asked. I have not heard a peep, but they're keeping it quiet. I know there was a lot of rumors, like after season end, Brooks would be transferring and all that stuff.
Right.
Our little scub, but, you know, IU and all this other stuff, but obviously nothing really came from it. So if he's going to transfer, why he hasn't transferred? And with Mance, I think he's truly contemplating, does he really want to come back for another year, or does he really want to try pro? But you know, he's not going to be an NBA prospect right off the bat. So does he want to go G League? And there's no guarantee he's going to be G League. So does he look at broad or come back for UTEC and, you know, get that chance where you see like what Rupley is like?
Right.
Which I think Cal personally, he's been trying to recruit Mitz to come back since the whole game where she like 5 threes in a row or something like that.
Yeah.
Right. And Mitz had mentioned during the season, he's in a 2-year master's program. So he comes back for another year. He has his master's. So,
exactly.
I've seen people, like there was just an update about Brooks now that his parents don't want him to transfer.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and I know there were rumors out there that people around him had reached out to IU and other schools.
Right.
So if that's really where they're at now, that to me is a good sign of Brooks returning. Mm-hmm. And you'd think his name would already be in the portal if he was going to transfer.
Right.
I agree with that. You know? Yeah, I agree with that.
So that's why I've always kind of leaned towards Brooks coming back, because mm-hmm. there was nothing there saying, yes, he's going to transfer. There was nothing concrete or affirmative that said, yes, he's doing that. It was all just rumors and stuff like that.
Right.
That's true.
I think a lot of people were nervous too, or maybe not nervous is the word, but I think a lot of people were thinking that they're both gone because Kentucky was reaching out, we know, to several people. I mean, there was a lot of people that Kentucky reaching out, and people are like, why is Kentucky reaching out to so many people? Does Cal have, the question came up, does Cal have a plan? What's going on? So how does that work in with all of this, with Kentucky in touch with so many transfers?
Well, I think Cal's adjusting his recruiting, because I think he realized he's not going to be able to get to, you know, the instant NBA players like he did when he first arrived to Kentucky. I think the landscape has changed. They got the G League now, and you got all these different things where players get paid easily now. And NCAA is kind of, I don't know what they're really doing with the NIL. It's kind of a joke anymore. Like, states are already putting implications in it. Why aren't you doing it?
Right.
Why you have to get the federal government? It's your job to do it. Just
right.
do it.
Right.
Yeah.
It's an easy change. It would be an easy change.
It is such an easy change. The rules are so, how can I say this without being, they're so outdated. How about that?
Right.
That they need to get with times. And you know, the FBI investigation, the whole cheating, you know what? It's really, honestly, it's the NCAA's fault. It's not the coach's fault. It's the NCAA's fault. Because you know what? If you actually just count the times, you wouldn't be playing players underneath the table. Because you know what? It happens right in front of you. Use their glasses. But you know, it is what it is until they actually realize, hey, we need to stop maybe paying all these coaches, well, not coaches, but all these administrators millions and millions of dollars and actually give times. Put your effort where it needs to be fixed. Maybe, just maybe, your product would be better for everyone else.
Right.
And if we're being honest, like if they went with the NIL and they implemented it, mm-hmm. teams like Kentucky, like Duke, like Kansas that have those rabid fan bases, mm-hmm. it is going to benefit them more because they can offer more to those players. They have a bigger right. fan base, you know. But it is what actually, it is. Like, right. but you can players at these smaller schools in these smaller towns can then sign an endorsement with a local restaurant right. or a car dealership right. or something like that where they can make money locally. Exactly. It may not be nationally like the Kentucky players, the Duke players are going to get, but they'd still at least be able to get something.
Right.
Instead of
being so restricted the way they are now.
Right. I mean, but if you think about it, like, okay, let's look at Loyola Chicago. They've been pretty much a Cinderella for the last couple of years. Now, a lot of players that probably wouldn't get noticed. If they had the NIL, you know, if they go to the tournament, they're going to get noticed. They probably get better endorsements, as they should.
Right.
I mean, you can put limitations to the actual, okay, how much money you can make. But at the same time, you need to do something. They're just, what is going on right now is not working. It hasn't been working for 10, 20, 30 years. Give it the times.
And I'll add right. that Emmert just signed a contract extension.
It's a joke.
So, so there's that.
Yeah, that's
and he's laughable. still against the NIL. That
right. I wonder why.
Right.
It's money that he's not going to get in his pocket. And right. the only reason why he even got a contract extension is because LSU was trying to hire him. But let's be honest, let's look at LSU. You have Will Way and his strong ass offer. You have Kill Monkey, which is making $2.25 million, which there's nothing wrong with that. But she's kind of, I don't know, she's kind of a hothead at times. You have Coach O, which is under that whole investigation with the Darius guys. The whole thing, LSU is like a complete mess right now, and nobody seems to have any care in the world.
Nobody cares. Yeah. Nobody cares. Like,
you think, honestly, I'm surprised the SEC hasn't gotten involved. Say, hey, you need to clean this up. Take some leadership, bro. Clean this up. This is unacceptable. Completely unacceptable, you guys.
But you are talking about a flagship program for the SEC.
But, you know, if it's, well, let's be honest. If this was back in when Kentucky got probation for the whole envelope thing, the SEC would have said something new. It's not any different.
Yeah. No, it's not. And it shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be.
No, but like, it was a joke that they suspended Will Wade for a week or whatever it was, 2 weeks. And then when he wouldn't talk to the NCAA, they're like, oh, okay, come on, man. You're good. Don't worry about the NCAA. We'll take care of it.
Well, look at the cover up they did for Les Miles. How many years?
Right.
Yeah.
8 years. And it just now came out.
Yeah.
Eight years ago, they wanted to fire him.
Yeah.
So what else is there covering up? That's what I want to know.
I mean, you could probably say that about a lot of athletic departments.
Oh, you probably could.
But when you've got, you've already got stuff that have come out from that athletic department. You've obviously got to wonder what else is going on behind the scenes.
All right. I mean, just people that's not like actual coaches, but actual administrators who are actually getting promoted and promotions and everything else. Then they get suspended, but then they're still having a job. Yet they was completely involved with the whole situation, help covering up. That makes no sense to me. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, can't argue with that.
It makes no sense to me at all. At some point, someone's going to say something. Hey, this is unacceptable. If you want to be in this conference, you need to clean it up. Point blank.
You would want to, especially when your coach is on a wiretap. You want to.
Exactly. Well, not just even the FBI investigation, but you know, the sexual assault investigation, the Title X, and then, right. you know, all these different things. It mounds up and it looks bad.
It looks bad. Yeah, it looks bad on LSU,
but it looks bad on the SEC because nothing's being done.
Well, look at the Baylor football program.
Exactly.
I mean, and if we want to be honest, the Baylor basketball program back under Dave Bliss,
mm-hmm.
you know, that put a stain on that entire athletic department for years. And they're obviously just now coming out of one of them winning the championship this year. So they've rebounded.
Right.
But I still think there's a lot of people out there that question that athletic department and what else is still going on down there, Baylor, as much as they covered up.
Right. Exactly.
So you don't want to keep those questions lingering if you're an athletic program. So
no.
And, you know, kind of shift gears talking about LSU. And the SEC has hit the portal hard.
Yep.
I mean, LSU, Kentucky, Alabama, Arkansas, Ole Miss, Mississippi State. We brought in some great players.
Yeah, now, Arkansas Kentucky's is like brought in,
yeah, Kentucky's brought in Grady and Oscar. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they're bringing in a couple of things that were missing from this team
right. This
past year in shooting and physicality. Do you think that's going to make a huge difference next year going forward and the product we're going to see on the floor?
I would say yes, but ultimately it's going to depend on who's going to be the point guard. If somebody who actually to break down defender, pass it, I think ultimately it's going to decide on that. If they miss on their point guard targets, then I don't think it's really going to matter, to be honest. I think you're going to see something similar to one of those last season because there was no one on the team beyond Mintz, but you know, Mintz was basically carrying the team at times, that could honestly break down a defender and blow past them and then either pass the ball or shoot. And I think that was the main thing of the problem. They just didn't have a viable option at point guard who was able to break down a defense to either have an open shot for Allen, Mintz, whoever, or at least pass it down low for, you know, Sauer or Brooks or anyone down there. And I think if they don't have that just for this upcoming season, it's not really going to matter who's on team because they're going to be in the exact same situation. Because no one's going to be able to have an open shot. Everything's going to be forced. So,
I mean, I think Hickman's going to be a huge upgrade.
Hickman's going to be an upgrade, but we're expecting too much for a freshman.
Well, I mean, I don't think Askew was even brought in to be the guy.
Well,
but they missed on their guy when they missed on Cade Cunningham.
Right.
And then you have Terrence Clark get hurt.
Right.
So, I mean, there were things out of his control that kind of forced his hand to be in the position that he was in. So,
to be fair, okay, I'm going to be a devil's advocate here. To be fair, Cal should have known he was going to Oklahoma State the entire time because his brother was there. And if you so really wanted Cade Cunningham, you should have hired his brother. You should have hired his brother. You hired Jay Lucas. You should have just moved Jay Lucas to his spot, kept that position, hired Cade Cunningham's brother, and there you go.
Right. No, I can't argue with that. But
if you really, truly wanted Cade Cunningham, because what's the NCAA going to do?
Well, they can't do anything because they let go of another school.
They cannot do a thing because Oklahoma State just did.
But with it being Kentucky,
the
minute that Kentucky does it, the NCAA is going to make it a rule that you cannot hire a relative for the season that they're coming in as a recruit. It's going to be something where you have to hire them 2 or 3 years before.
And so be it. So be it, but they can't force it until it's forward in.
Right. No, I get it. Yeah.
So it'd be a moot point by then. But I mean, in reality, if Kyle really wanted him, he should have. But the problem was Kyle didn't have a backup plan. He put all his eggs in one basket and it burned.
Right. And it's happened a few times over the last few years.
Exactly. So I think, you know, with
wing players and post players, you know, I mean, you mentioned Kofi Coburn a few minutes ago. Yeah. One of the reasons why he went to Illinois was because Cal was waiting on somebody else and he didn't want to wait anymore. So he went to Illinois. And I think the newest name out there for Kentucky is, how you say his name? Xavier Wheeler from Georgia. How do you like Kentucky's chances with him, or have you heard anything about that? The report was today that they're in pretty good shape with him.
Yeah, they're in good shape with him. I think right now it's a lot. So I would say he's probably the second backup. I would say the backup option. I think right now the top option is Ty Washington. I know there was a lot of rumors that he was at Arizona past weekend for the spring game, but I don't know if it's his family relative, his father, or what, but they tweet out they wasn't on a visit. Maybe they weren't. I don't know. Either way, I think he's a top target. And I think he said he might commit the end of this month. You know, that could be this week.
Right.
We'll have to see. I think Kentucky's in a good spot with him, but at the same time, I think Arizona has went all in since, you know, Cal's basically lost 2 assistants. So, I mean, he's trying to get there before Cal has a chance to hire 2 more assistants and seal that deal. But, you know, if they missed on Ty, then I think Wheeler becomes your pop point guard target. And then Cal could get him, you know, that's great because he can pass the ball. He's one of the better assist ratios, you know, turnover ratio there is. So, that'd be an upgrade. I think Cal needs to add another shooter, and then, you know, if he has that one scholarship left, he needs to add it a bit. Again. I think there's too many possibilities of having injuries that just really hindered the team the last several years.
Well, and especially if you bring in a kid like Wheeler, who has struggled shooting the ball.
Yeah.
You definitely got to bring in another shooter to complement that.
Right.
You know, Ty is a better shooter than what Wheeler is, but he's also a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you'd have 2 freshmen as your point guard options, which obviously I don't think both of them are going to struggle and have issues. And they're both good shooters. So, but you bring it, if you bring in Wheeler instead of Ty, you've got to add that shooter alongside of him, whether it's Frederick, whether it's Adam Miller, you know, somebody that's a better shooter than what you're bringing in and Sabir Wheeler.
Right. I agree with that. You know? I agree with that. I mean, you can never have enough big men, but you also can never have enough shooters. And honestly, the game is changed to now where it's not about how high you can jump, it's how much you can put in the bucket. If you can actually shoot the ball and how deep you can shoot it from and how accurate you are, that's where the game. That's where the game's at. I mean, let's be honest. The NBA has transformed not just the NBA game, but it's also transformed the college game.
Right. And I would say Houston and Golden State have been the biggest reasons for that, because you see them out there taking 35, 40 threes a game. And that's what everybody wants to do.
No, look at Alabama. Let's be honest. Alabama was playing like the NBA setup. I mean, they shot how many threes a game?
I think they averaged 30 a game.
Yeah.
But you also saw in the tournament, when that's all you do and you have no other plan, that's going to go out the window at some point. Yeah. You're going to have a bad shooting night, you know, whether it's from the free throw line, the three-point line, or whatever, you're going to have a bad shooting night, and it's going to come and bite you in the ass. And that's what happened to Alabama. So that's why, for me, like, okay, shoot more threes. That's fine. Yeah. But shoot them in the process of the offense.
Right.
You want to be able to score at all three levels of the court to keep that defense honest.
Right. I would say you can shoot more threes, but you want to keep it in the rhythm of the game. You don't want to force it.
Bama's on that whole other end. We're like, we don't give a damn about the rhythm of the game or the flow of the offense. We're just going to throw up three.
Yeah. That's true. That is true. I mean, let's be honest, that's how Vanderbilt did for many, many years. So.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how Vanderbilt
didn't win anything either.
They did to be fair, though, Vanderbilt was probably the stiffest competition Kentucky played in 2012.
And I had this conversation with, I think it was Kyle Tucker or somebody on Twitter.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of, like, if Bama plays that, that offense they're playing.
Right.
They're going to have a lot of success in the regular season.
Right, right.
I don't think they're going to have that same type of success, that same level of success once they get to the SEC tournament and the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
You know, whoever it was talked about Nate Oates at Buffalo making it to the Sweet 16. Yeah, but what happened in the Sweet 16? They got beat by 20 when they played Kentucky.
Right.
You know, and that, granted, that was Buffalo. Different level of school and player there than what you're going to get at Alabama.
Right.
But I'm still not 100% sold that playing that type of game is going to lend itself to long-term postseason success, because it never has.
I think the only way it would, if they legitimately have an inside presence. If they could have an inside presence, then I think they would. But I would agree with you that, you know, shooting 33s, 35 threes a game is not going to end well, especially in the NCAA tournament. By then, your legs are tired. You're not going to have the same energy you had in the beginning of the season, so you can't, you know, shoot like you did. I mean, yeah, you might have a streaky night here and there, but it's just not going to be the exact same. You're playing against a wholly different level of competition. It's more of, people are more hungry because it's now you win.
Win or go home.
Exactly, win or go home. Yep. So you better be hitting those shots. And if you're not hitting them, you're going to go home, which is what we've seen in Alabama. And I think in some ways, I think that's how Gonzaga is set up in some ways. They stretch four or five men. They rely on a three-point line. But when it comes down to it, when they play a physical team like a Baylor, they ate them for lunch because they got into their jersey and forced them to take those tough shots. And you force teams to do that, it hinders what their offense really is.
I don't think Gonzaga was a great defensive team either. I don't think they really cared all that much about defense. Yeah. And you can, like, I mean, that happens when you play in the type of conference they play in for the whole year. Mm-hmm. You're going to get into that lull of, okay, I don't have to play my best every game.
Right.
And we're still going to win.
Right.
And then it's hard to come back out of that when you get into the NCAA tournament. That switch is really hard to flip. And now all of a sudden become a great defensive team, which they have. I mean, with the players that they had on the team, there's no reason they shouldn't have been a good defensive team.
No, they should be.
And their numbers were probably their numbers were probably better when you look at the KenPom ratings than what they actually were, just because of the competition levels they played against all year long.
I mean, the competition level wasn't that good compared to what Baylor was playing. I mean,
right.
I'll be honest, though, I wish I could have seen Baylor versus Gonzaga early in the regular season.
Right.
I want to see, you know, get a better assessment of how the team would play. I think it would have came in a little too confident that it was going to beat Baylor, because, you know, there's an undefeated team. Raw, we're going to, you know, break Indiana's record. Like, there was a rumor that they already had champagne ordered or something like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think they came in a little too cocky, a little too
premature.
Premature, exactly. And then when Baylor came here and smacked him in the face a couple of times, and like, oh, we're not going to win this. We're going to fight, but we're not going to win this. I think they come, you know, reality check here. We're not as good as we think we are.
Right.
Yeah. And I completely agree with that.
You get that panic mode, too, and you start jacking those threes up, and then they're not falling, and you're like, yeah, this is bad.
This is not going to be our night. Yeah, right.
Transfers aside, speaking of the freshmen coming in, I know everyone's high on Hickman, but what about Collins?
I think Collins is a freak, to be honest. I think he is an absolute athletic freak. That kid has got the potential to surprise some folks. Honestly, there's times where he does remind me of AD.
Yep.
There's times I think he could block a shot, he could rebound, but he has he has the skills to be a guard. He actually, his shot from outside is not that bad.
Right.
And see, I saw somebody talking about that.
Yeah.
The other day. I'm like,
now will Cal actually?
Yeah.
Now will Cal actually allow him to shoot a three?
That's
a different story.
Yeah.
But if he allows him to and plays, you know, the game like he should, like he can, then by all means, I think he's going to surprise the folks. I think what Cal did with Scal, I would say somewhat it hurt his negative recruiting. I think people look like, hey, you knew Scal, right? He was more of a stretch four, stretch five man. We should allow him to do more, you know, face up shooting than back to the basket. Yeah, that wasn't Scal. Right.
No, it wasn't.
And I think same with Collins. I think Collins not more of your back, you know, back to the basket. I think he's more of a, you know, stretch four, stretch five type guy.
Yeah.
You know, if you allow him to do his thing, break, maybe he could break down his defender, blow by him, go for a dunk, or just, you know, spot up shot. You know, I think he could do that. But honestly, his outside shot is actually pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, and great on the defensive side as well.
No, his defensive side, he's going to be
a freak.
Yeah,
exactly. He's a defensive freak. Right. I mean, defensive side, he's going to control that paint with Oscar.
His arms are so long, I don't think he has to bend over to tie his shoes.
Right. Yeah. And he's got that natural timing, too, and that's one of those things you don't teach. You know, you got to have it, so.
Right, and when he first committed, I actually think it was Kyle Tucker again. Because at that point we were texting back and forth quite a bit, but I asked him in terms of, because we've had some pretty bouncy shot blockers, AD, Nerlens, Marcus Lee, and I asked him
Isaiah Jackson.
How would he compare to, as far as the past players, as far as, you know, bounce goes? And he's like, it's not even close. He's the bounciest guy. He's the bounciest big man Kentucky will have ever had under Cal.
It gets off the floor quick.
It's crazy. Yeah.
He gets the floor quick. I mean, when I think of him, I think of, you know, AD or Nerlens Noel, Willie Cauley-Stein, Isaiah Jackson. But I think Jackson was bouncy, but he's not going to be as bouncy as Collins is. Collins is an absolute freak. He can get off the court quick, really quick.
And Jackson had some wow moments, too, with his with some of his dunks and blocks and everything, too. So if he's bouncier than Jackson, bouncier than Nerlens, who's probably AD aside, who was great, Nerlens is probably the best shot blocker we've had at Kentucky under Cal as a natural shot blocker.
Yeah.
If he's bouncier than those guys, I see the other team having a hard time scoring in the paint over Collins.
Yeah, I mean,
and Oscar, to be honest, because he's going to be able to bump you out of the way and muscle you out.
So as a freshman, are we in agreement that he would be a big time contributor?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would be shocked if he wasn't. Honestly, I think if he wasn't averaging 14 points, 6-7 rebounds, 3-4 blocks a game, I would be shocked. Wow. I think he's just that good. I think people will kind of give him not the credit and respect.
He's a little underrated.
Atlanta, Texas. I think that's,
put up like, what, 35 points a game? his senior year, like 12 rebounds, 8 blocks or something. Yeah, like, the numbers were crazy.
Right.
For him.
And Texas competition is not bad. Let's just go put still out there. Texas competition is not bad.
Right. And speaking of the recruits coming in, Bryce Hopkins. You know, he wasn't kind of highly heralded when he first signed with Kentucky. It seems like over the last few months, and especially throughout his senior season, his stock has kind of risen as a recruit. How do you see him fitting in next year as a freshman? How much do you see him contributing?
I see him kind of being like Jacob Toppin, to be honest. I see him doing contributing like Jacob Toppin did his last season. I see him playing more of a role player. You know, Hopkins is interesting to me because, you know, he can play the four, but he also could play the three. It's going to be interesting to see what Cal does, you know, with the lineup. It depends on who he's going to have on a team, but I think Hopkins can be a very good role player his freshman year, and then I don't expect him to be like a one and done. I don't see that happening. I think he'd be at least a 2-year player, maybe three. But Hopkins got the potential to be very, very good at Kentucky. It's just a matter of he being patient and just going with the process.
Right. He kind of reminds me, if you watch him play, of PJ Washington, just the way he plays.
Yes.
The energy he plays with, the way he's just got a knack for getting the ball mm-hmm. in the basket, you know, through contact. And if we're being honest, his three-point shot and his outside shot throughout the season this year got better as the season went on.
Right.
I think it ended up the last half of the season, he shot over 40% from three.
Right.
You know, so he's got those abilities.
Pretty good body type, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, get in a college weight room, he's going to get stronger and kind of fill out and get some of that baby fat off and all that stuff. But, you know, I think, like you said, his three-point shot actually improved. And, you know, I think with Cal wanting to do more traditional stuff this season, like last season, I do think we're going to see a more improved team in that way. I think shooting-wise, I think he'll have more one-on-one maybe with coaches or the other players and all that will improve his shooting, even as a freshman coming in. It gives him time to, you know, work on his craft and improve the game that where his weaknesses won't get exposed. Because when you're at Kentucky, if you have a weakness, it's going to get exposed no matter what.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He always says he can't hide you.
He can't hide you.
Yep.
That's true.
So, switching gears a little bit, still talking about recruits. 2022. I know we had this conversation. None of us here in this group have really looked into 2022 recruits. We're just going to put that out there. So,
yeah.
Right now, the one we got Sky Clark committed right now. So mm-hmm. everybody knows Sky Clark.
Right.
What do you think of Sky coming in next year?
You know, Sky,
or in 2022.
Right. Sky, so there's a lot of things still going on with Sky. I think, you know, I know his family's saying they're staying committed to Kentucky with no jail justice now at Arizona State. And I think Justice said on Alonzo he would, you know, try to still recruit from Kentucky, which I think is nice. Respectful, but at the same time, you know, I think there's other schools who's going to say, hey, the guy that, you know, recruited your son is gone, so why should you go to Kentucky? So you don't necessarily have to technically recruit to a player to get, you know, they can still, you know, contact someone close to them, like a coach or something like that, whisper in their ear, but which is legal to a sense, because I mean, there's no national letter of intent, so they can do whatever they want. You know, it's just frowned upon in basketball recruiting, but
right.
But that happens, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It happens all the time. But it's just never talked about. But at the same time, I think, you know, Sky Clark, I think he's going to be an absolute beast if he comes to Kentucky, I think. You know, if it's Chen Coleman and Coach Ho and then Cal, you know, that's going to be an interesting coaching staff. But at the end of the podcast, I'll add a little speculation on that, too. But I do think Sly is going to be an absolute beast at Kentucky. I think he might be as good as a point guard Cal's had at, you know, in many, many years. I think he'd be as good as possibly as Ashton Hagans, even maybe even better. I think his shot is...
He's very, a much very, better scorer.
He's a much, much better scorer. I think he reminds me of Braden Knight, to be honest.
I take that.
I like that.
Yeah. I think he reminds me of Brandon Knight with the shot, but he could break down defenders with his, you know, ball skills and all that and pass it. To me, I think, honestly, the reason why that 2011 team went to the Final Four is because of Brandon Knight, or championship game, because he was a point guard who could able to take over the game, not just by passing it and distributing, but he could shoot the ball. And I think, honestly, you know, 2012, you had AD and all them, but Marcus Teague was not the shooter that... Right. You know,
no.
Brandon Knight was. But you had AD and you had Terrence Jones, Darius Miller, Deron Lamb, and all of them. You know, you didn't need a shooter. But I do think, you know, Sky Clark can bring that to Kentucky as a shooter, not just a, break down the distributor as well.
Right.
And if we're being honest, the only real shooter that Kentucky's had at point guard under Cal was Brandon Knight. Tyler Ulis, he was all right, but he wasn't the shooter that Brandon Knight was.
Louisville fans would disagree with that. Louisville fans would disagree that Tyler Ulis was that shooter, because I'm pretty sure Tyler Ulis ate Louisville's lunch twice.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
No, I'm not trying to put Tyler Ulis down.
No, I get that.
But if we put them side by side in a shooting contest,
right.
I'm sorry, Ulis is not going to beat Brandon Knight.
It's probably not
going to be close if we're really being honest about it.
Right. And you touched on it too, Patrick, that his family, I think his dad came out and said, our plans don't change, with the justice situation. I feel like that's kind of like him saying, Joe Justice is gone, but hey, Kentucky is Kentucky.
and Cal is still Cal. So,
right.
And Cal is still Cal.
Exactly.
Right.
I mean, that's the main thing. He's not leaving. It's just justice. So, assistants come and go, but the head coach is still there, so that matters.
And that's kind of where I was getting. Like, what I take from that is that they've known for a while that Justice and Barbie were going to be going, and there's going to be two new guys coming in.
Yeah.
So it's not a surprise to any of these players that they're recruiting that these changes are happening.
Oh, I guarantee you that those players know, or we, you know, just, I mean.
Because to me, there's no way that Joel Justice just all of a sudden interviewed with Arizona State. That was happening already.
Oh, yeah.
That's been going on for months, working on getting him there.
I don't know about months, maybe weeks, more likely.
But you get what I'm saying. Yeah. Right. It wasn't like he didn't get the job at Radford, so now he's going to Arizona State.
Right. I think with Barbie, everyone knew that Barbie was probably going to be gone anyway. So, I mean, 7 seasons at Kentucky, that's an awful lot of time. That's a long time.
Right.
And I got the feeling that he's going to get that itch to go back to head coaching anyway, at least Cal can. I mean, Barbie was a good recruiter. He was a great recruiter. He brought some kids in. But I do think, as a whole, Kentucky needed fresh blood, needed a whole new way of looking at things. And I think, how this season went, Cal, I don't want to say he got arrogant the way he was running things, but I do think he got humbled.
Yeah.
I think he realized that the game has changed. It's not like it was back in 2015. You can have all the athleticism and all this and all that, but if you can't put the ball in the bucket, it don't matter what you got out there. You can have five stars out there. If they can't put it in the go, it don't matter.
Right.
And I think
Cal's an adapter too.
This year was a perfect storm of everything coming together, mm-hmm. with the COVID stuff, with an entirely new roster, with two new coaches on the staff, all that stuff coming together, which almost forces a program to look harder at itself. Okay, what changes do I need to make to get us back to where we were so this kind of stuff doesn't happen again?
Exactly. Credit Cal for realizing that. Credit Cal for wanting to change things. Now, do I think the offense is going to change completely? No, but at the same time, I do think there's going to be some adjustments to it. I don't think it's going to be just triple drive offense, and that's going to be, I do think there's going to be a variation to it where it's going to be appealing for everybody. I mean, it's going to be totally different. It's not going to be so easy and predictable of how to defend it, because I do think the last couple of years, especially this past season, how predictable how the offense is going to be run. I mean, I think people figured out in game where the ball is going to go to.
Well, I think that has more to do with execution of the offense.
Yeah.
And the inability to make those easy shots. Because as we saw throughout the season, it wasn't that they struggled shooting the three or struggled in the paint or struggled from the mid-range. They struggled everywhere. Everywhere.
And hopefully we get those, get that summer. Hopefully we get that.
The only spot they didn't struggle at was free throws. That was it.
Right.
Right. And they shot three free throws pretty well. But you had Sar when teams got physical with him, had issues scoring at the basket. Keon Brooks had issues scoring through contact at times. Brandon Boston, until the last 6, 7, 8 games, struggled shooting the ball, struggled shooting the three.
Mm-hmm.
Never came around on his mid-range shot, which if you watched him in high school, the kid could put the ball in the basket no matter where he was at.
I think he was mental. I think it was overwhelmed because he felt like he had to put too much on himself. But I think overall, I think the offense, not was it run through him somewhat, but I feel like at times he felt like he had to carry the team. He had no one else. And that was too much on a freshman. Honestly, I'm not saying he's not a generational talent, because he he has that potential to be one. But as a freshman, he is not like a Jalen Suggs. He's going to take over a game. I mean, Boston could at times, but to do it day in, day out, he couldn't. Because, like you said, he put too much on himself. It was mental. I mean, look at the SEC tournament. He didn't score a single point, did he? Game.
Against Mississippi? I don't think he did. I think he was scoreless.
I think he was scoreless. I think he came in too hyped. I think he came in, you know, way... I'm going to say not too hyped. Just, I think, like you said, it's mental. I think he just mentally... It was a mental struggle,
right.
And it didn't help. And it didn't help with the fan base, you know, help crushing on them.
No college experience.
Players and coaches see that stuff. They don't need that. They have enough on their plate as is that fans and even media don't know. They don't need to know. There's so much going on in their lives that we as people forget. They're not just players. They're students, and they have their own lives and day lives that they need. That they're going through, and we just don't take it that way.
And Jay, you can speak to this because you have a kid going to UK about how restrictive they were with their COVID protocol.
Yeah, Kentucky was one of the most restricted schools there were. So I think that played a lot into it. You know, they were going to practice and back to the lodge. I mean, they were really, I mean, when we say bubbled, Kentucky was really bubbled. And I think that was a lot of our issues too. I mean, like Patrick just said too, that the no college experience, they were going through a lot, and it's really, really hard to be a student athlete. So, you know, and it didn't work out this year for a lot of people. Players, you know, at Kentucky, and we did no chemistry. We missed summer practice. I mean, there people say, oh, well, you can't blame it on COVID because this school didn't do, you know, well, not all schools, you know, did the bubble up exactly the same, you know, and Kentucky's was really tight. So I think it was somewhat of that, but, you know, I think, like Patrick touched on too, I think Boston will go on to be a great player eventually.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think his game is perfectly suited for the NBA if he can get a little bit stronger.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he physically gets stronger, but, you know, if he gets physically stronger, I do think he will make an impact in the NBA. I do think he has potential to be an NBA All-Star. Do I think he's going to be like an all-time great? No, but, but, you know,
don't buy the hype of him saying he want to be the greatest player ever.
That's a great. Okay.
It's a good goal to have.
It's a good goal to have. It's a good goal to have. I mean, that should be your ultimate goal. That's your ultimate goal. That's what you should be. That's what you should be pushing yourself for.
Right.
I think he has the work ethic to do it? Yes. Do I think he ultimately will? No. I mean, there's not many players out there who'd be like Michael Jordan, LeBron James, all them out there. Kobe. Yeah. There's just not. Those players do not come just happen all the time. And I mean, some of the all-time greatest were not as good as those three you just mentioned. So, I mean, it is what it is. You have your goal. You push for it. But if you don't ultimately get it, you're still in the NBA. You're still making millions of dollars. You're still a role model for these younger kids. You still have people looking up. So that's all that should matter.
Right. Yep. So speaking on all this, you know, we're at 50 minutes now. I think it's ended up being a
great conversation.
After this past season and the struggles that we had as a team and as a fan base dealing with it, should the fans have renewed optimism going forward into next season with the changes that we know that are happening and are assumed to be happening with the team?
Yes. I do think there should be some optimism there with Cal, you know, adjusting his recruiting and realizing, hey, he needs to make changes to the staff. And if we're assuming that, you know, Orlando Tegua and Ronald Coleman or Ronald Chin Coleman is going to be joining the staff, which I do expect that they will. Of course, probably at when it's supposed to, they probably be like, nope, we're staying by my luck. But honestly, I do think if we assume those two are coming and then Kentucky, you know, lands a point guard and maybe another shooter and then all that. And the Cal maybe uses 13 scholarship. Who knows? He might just keep it. You never know with Cal. But I would think there's some optimism should be there. I do think Kentucky should be better than they were last season. I don't expect another losing season. I don't expect a team that's not going to make the NCAA tournament. I don't think there's going to be a team that's going to be sweating or that even going to get in the tournament, even in the SEC tournament. I do think there'll be there, you know, a 3-2 or 1 seed in the SEC tournament. I think, you know, Arkansas, Alabama are going to be teams that Kentucky's going to be facing for many, many years. I think those two are loading up. I think Tennessee is going to be good, but are they going to be great? I don't know. I mean, everyone projected Tennessee to be such a great team this past season. They didn't do good either. But, you know, for Florida to be good, Florida's, you know, you never know what's for Florida, honestly. Some days they look really good and some days they don't.
I think Mike White is a little overrated as a coach when it comes to once it gets on the floor.
Yeah, I mean,
as an opposing fan, what I'm thinking.
Well, I think a lot of the Gators fans don't like Mike White. I think they honestly want him gone. Now, will he actually get fired? Probably not. But, you know, I don't think Florida is as good as they once were under Billy Donovan. I mean, they are recruiting well, but when they put onto the floor, like you said, there are times where you have all this talent and they're not getting results at all. So, I'm surprised that Florida hasn't made a change. I mean, all the other schools have. LSU, it's going to be an interesting team. You know, you never know what Will Wade's going to have up his pocket or out of his pocket. Arkansas seems to be in a transfer portal all the time. So, you never know what they're going to load up to. Alabama's going to be Alabama. I am curious to see what, you know, the two Mississippi schools are going to be like. Ole Miss and, you know, Mississippi State, which, no, Mississippi State at times easily showed those better Kentucky last season at times. But there's times Kentucky looked better than Mississippi State. You never know. And then Ole Miss, you know, I really don't know what to think about Ole Miss sometimes. They look pretty good, and then there's times they look not so good last season as well. So overall, I think Kentucky should be a much improved team. But since we're going to assume on this stuff, I'm with a little speculation out there. So we all assume that the coaching staff on court is going to be Bruiser Flint, probably Coleman Chilwin or Chen, and Coach O, or actually Jay Lucas, and then Coach O, and then Bruiser. But here's where I'm here's where I'm going to go with this. I have heard this. John Robick gets moved to a different title. Bruiser Flint takes over John Robick's spot, and then he moves Chen down to Bruiser. So you have Bruiser, Jay Lucas, and Coach O is your on-floor coach recruiters. You have Bruiser basically being your scouting, and then Robick having his own different title. What do you all think of that?
I could see it.
I think I could see it. I was in the camp that Bruiser just moves to Barbie's spot, and then whichever coach, probably Coleman, is being hired to fill that spot moves to Bruiser's spot. That's what I was thinking the change would be. But I wouldn't be surprised to see Robick move on to something else.
Right.
I think there's been some talk that Robick could have a different title, and then he'd still be at Kentucky but have a different title, and then Bruiser fill in for Robick. Because Kyle and, you know, Bruiser are really close and know each other, and there's a lot of trust there. And then, you know, the position that Barbie had essentially would not exist anymore.
Okay.
I think.
Because it was created to get Jay Lucas on the floor.
Right.
I believe. Yeah.
Right. The recruiting coordinator spot was recruited to get Jay Lucas. I do think he might, you know, maybe he'll fill someone else in it. I don't know. I don't see that happening. I do think that Chen would be moved down to on-court, just like he was at Illinois, because he's going to get paid like an on-court coach, so why not put him on court?
Right.
We have him, Jay Lucas, and Coach O, and then, you know, Bruiser and Robick's spot, Robick being whatever title he is. I don't know what that title would be. Maybe the special assistant to the head coach or something like that. I don't know.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah. And then something like that, and then, you know, if that position still exists, maybe hire a young up-and-comer like Joel Justice was.
Right. Yeah, and he moved in from analytics off the court, like not even having anything on the court at all.
Right.
Before the speculation, we was talking about Kentucky and, you know, making the tournament. So what you were saying is basically Kentucky Final Four. He's like, what? No. Just kidding. Really, really appreciate you coming on and sharing everything with us and great speculation. I could totally see that. For listeners, you can follow Mr. Looney at Patrick Looney on Twitter. And man, thank you so much for joining us today. We definitely appreciate it.
Appreciate y'all inviting me. I'll be back on sometime soon.
Definitely.
Definitely. Absolutely.
Yeah, sounds good.
Thanks, Patrick.
All right. Thanks so much. Man, oh man.
Yeah.
Kentucky to the Final Four. Is that what Patrick said?
That's what it sounded like to me.
Come on, Patrick. Yeah, great stuff. Great speculation. And I will say speculation, but makes sense. A lot of it makes sense to me, and I could definitely see those things happen, especially with the coaching moves. We should find out soon on the coaching changes. Yeah. You know, the job was posted, and you mentioned that it was four days.
4 days after they posted the opening for when they hired Jay Lucas, that they announced that they hired Jay Lucas.
Right, and then it was
official 7 days later.
Right.
When that job closed.
Right. So that's where we're at with Kentucky basketball. And moving right along now, you know what time it is. The dumbest shit on Twitter this week. You never tweet prematurely, or you don't want to have that quoted tweet saying this aged well.
Right.
And that's what Danny did, was tweeted out, "Oh well, it was a great run, but Texas is much better." And then it was
Stumler out of system for the championship. Allie Stumler leads Kentucky to their first ever title, having the career match of her life.
That didn't age well, Danny.
No, it did not. Within an hour, it was wrong. And maybe he regrets sending that out 15 minutes into the match.
Right. I would delete.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But I mean, Texas is a good team.
Right,
and they were
yeah.
tough to beat. And I think once Kentucky saw that in that first set, they were like, we're gonna have to step it up, and then they did.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So, and then again in the fourth set, you know, they got down 6-1,
yeah.
and they boom just came back and crushed them. So.
Well, for the simple fact that he didn't delete his tweet, he makes episode 2. The dumbest shit on Twitter this week. I mean, that's just, it's never premature tweet.
That's the fact.
I mean,
well, I think I screenshotted it pretty quickly after he put it up. So
right.
he might have made it anyway.
Right. It's probably deleted by now. But then we got Dave. Dave is bitching about Cal. Calipari is the yeah. worst coach in college hoops. He gets top flight talent and does nothing to develop that talent. First off, he hasn't been caught cheating yet. Wait a minute.
Remind me where Cal was named in allegations or in NCAA violations. Because to me, it was Marcus Camby taking money from an agent at UMass.
Right.
And then coming to Cal and saying, "Hey, I did this." And then Cal turning him in. And then the NCAA at Memphis telling him, "Hey, Dee Rose is good to go. Go ahead and play him."
Yeah, twice he asked.
And then after the championship game saying, "Nah, he wasn't eligible, so you're going to lose everything."
Right.
Because apparently somebody may have taken his ACT horn right. or SAT, well, whatever it was.
Yeah, and that falls on the NCAA because mm-hmm. they cleared him. So
they cleared twice.
Right.
He said twice.
And another, something else about this tweet that makes it the dumb shit is, like, he doesn't develop top talent.
Right.
I mean, kind of why we have the Kentucky effect and we kind of run the NBA.
Yep.
That's development. Right.
Right. Like these players, like even the ones that leave after a year, they're getting stuff at Kentucky that they're not getting anywhere else.
Right.
You know, they don't get the same attention. Even at Duke or Kansas or North Carolina, they don't get the same attention from the fans and the media that you get at Kentucky. I mean, look at this year. You know, nobody really talked about Duke struggling.
Right.
It was all about Kentucky.
Yeah.
All about Kentucky's bad, Kentucky's struggling, Kentucky, you know, having a rough year. That just tells you right there, Kentucky runs college basketball.
Thanks.
And you come to Kentucky as a recruit, you leave after a year, great. But you're going to have stuff that you've learned to help you prepare and be successful in the NBA.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
yeah.
just...
Or Nick Richards. I would say Nick Richards developed while he was at Kentucky.
Yeah.
Because his freshman and sophomore year, you almost could not play him at times, you know?
Yeah.
So Tyler Ulis, you know, he developed in his 2 years. So you can't say Cal doesn't develop talent.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And that's why Dave made this week's dumb shit on Twitter. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Dave.
Next is Zach. Zach says Gonzaga, which just landed the number one prospect in the country, is now a blue blood. So is Villanova. Don't at me.
What are you supposed to be? A disappointment?
Villanova's closer. Villanova would be closer.
They would be closer.
Because they've won title.
I mean, Gonzaga, for God's sake, they're damn near a Cinderella still.
Right. Like, you can't be a blue blood until you win something.
Right.
Regular season success? Doesn't matter if you've done it for 20 years. You're doing it in a shitty conference. Regular season success does not make you a blue blood. Finish out one of these runs where they say you're the best team in the country, you're the number one overall seed. Finish out one of those runs with a title, then we can talk.
Yeah. So that's a negative.
Right.
No. And
Chet Holmgren, if you look at Tech, where else is he going to play?
Right.
Like, he plays in the Big Ten or the Big 12 or the SEC, he's going to get destroyed because he plays like 135 pounds, you know?
I've been hearing people say for 6 months he was going to Gonzaga. It wasn't a surprise.
It wasn't news.
Right.
It wasn't a shock. But people were like, oh, my God, they got the number one recruit. Yeah. Okay. I mean, they were expected to get him for a while now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And to end it out with the dumbest shit on Twitter this week is our friend ATL Boomer.
How's it going out there in Big 12 country?
Man, what? I've seen a lot of these tweets, and I like these things. I like this is what he's doing, but it's dumb shit, and you could tell that he is a Kentucky hater.
Right.
I mean, it's blatant. But yeah, I mean, he's got this graph up, and it's one thing that every Power 5 school gets ripped for. And Kentucky, weak Twitter fan base. I don't think someone's looking at the numbers.
I don't think he is either. Like, we have one of the most active coaches on Twitter, a fan base that interacts with everybody.
Right.
Like, it doesn't matter who you are.
Right.
You say something we don't like, or you say something we agree with, we're right there on you, especially if you say something we don't like.
Right. And let me add to a fan base that has Nation after it that is accurate. The only one that is accurate. The only one that can carry that title.
A Nation.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I don't.
Where you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Once again, ATL Boomer 1990. Love the graphs and everything, but just for the simple fact that you hate on Kentucky, this is the dumbest shit on Twitter this week. You
are the weakest thing. I'm sure we'll see him again.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody.
To absolutely nobody. I will not apologize. That was the dumbest shit on Twitter this week. Man, great episode. Appreciate Patrick Looney for joining us for some.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, Kentucky basketball talk. Like I said, you can follow him at Patrick Looney on Twitter. He is the co-founder and publisher of Big Blue Banter. Great for him coming through and chopping it up with us. And any last thoughts for the week?
I was debating whether or not to bring this up, but because it hit me so hard, and I know it hit you hard too.
Oh yeah.
But we just, from the bottom of our hearts, want to send out thoughts and prayers to Terrence Clark's family and friends, because I know how I feel as a parent.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and if you can tell it in my voice, I'm getting choked up again talking about it.
Yeah.
So, but he was on the steps of realizing his dream of playing in the NBA and just taken from us too soon. So that, once again, from the bottom of our heart, our thoughts and prayers go out to everybody who knew Terrence Clark and lost a little piece of themselves that day.
I'm your guy, Jay Hayes, and he is
JD Hall,
and we are Religiously Kentucky.
This was another episode of Religiously Kentucky.
It was great. Thanks for the hospitality.
If you liked this episode, make sure to give us a like and subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes and our opinionated take on the world of Kentucky sports. Religiously Kentucky.